you're gonna play.
But if you wanna stay in shape,
well, you better hit the
Gymwits. Gymwits.
That's right, man.
Welcome to the Gymwits Podcast. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, aka Chef Sonic.
And we are the Gymwits.
So you know what one of my biggest pet peeves in life is?
When people cut you off driving?
Yeah, that is sort of one of them. But really, the thing that gets me more than anything else is when something just doesn't work. There's no reason for it, but it just doesn't work. Now, I know the proper retort to that is there's always a reason. There's always a reason why something doesn't work. But sometimes there isn't in the digital world. Sometimes it just isn't. Like for instance, I was turning this on my recording software, which always works exactly the same. And then for some reason, I was getting latency, which is a delay mm-hmm. in the recording for no reason. When it just always worked, nothing was different. But just for some reason, just you know. Similarly, a few days ago, there was something with the cable where it was working great, and then for some reason, I just couldn't get this one channel or some on-demand thing just wasn't working. No reason, it just wasn't working.
Like I said, there's always a reason. It's a matter of whether or not it's an acceptable reason.
Yes.
Yeah, I think with 3D printing stuff, the machine, like things go wrong often. Not as much. I got a much nicer printer that doesn't go out wrong as much as it used to. But I think the problem are things going wrong because of my own error, which is acceptable in a way because hopefully you learn and you don't make the same mistakes again? Or is it something going wrong that you can't diagnose? And I think that's the really frustrating part when there's just something not working and you didn't do anything wrong. Because then it's like, well, I spent a lot of time and money, resources into whatever it is that's supposed to be working. And if it's not working and you don't know why it's not working, then or it's not working for a reason that's unacceptable, you know, that's problematic.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, no, I can understand that.
Do you know what would be really annoying?
What?
If part of your body just stops working for some reason.
Sure.
Maybe
has that happened to you?
Get it fixed. No, it's never happened to me, fortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, that's never happened. But I'm sure for some people it happens. And some people, they know why it happens. And it's because they have an injury.
Good segue.
You always have to mention when I have a good segue.
Yeah, I do.
So you can't just let it. You just can't let it sit.
Can't let it go. I can't let you just. No. I have to make you aware that it's a good segue. Even though I guess that was the whole point, is to have a good segue. So
good segue.
I guess that does segue into our interview today. Our discussion is with David Geyer. He's an orthopedic surgeon and sports medicine specialist, and we have a great discussion lined up. I'm going to talk to him about athletes, lay people, injuries, and some of his experience and what our listeners and we can do to protect ourselves against any major injuries. So without further ado, here's our interview.
Hey, everyone. We are here with David Geyer. Hey, David, what's going on?
Hey, how are you guys?
Very, very well. Very well. So David is an orthopedic surgeon. He's also an expert in sports medicine, and he's an author and a fellow podcaster. So must be keeping you pretty busy, David.
Yeah, I can't claim that I'm not busy, but you know, to be fair, we're all busy. But outside of work, I do try to talk about sports injuries and injury treatment. So it definitely is something I put a lot of time into.
Cool. So before we get into the meat of the discussion, we always want to know a little bit about what's your own athletic background or background in health and fitness?
Yeah, so I have been involved in sports and exercise, I mean, honestly, as long as I can remember. Unlike a lot of the kids today, I played all sorts of different sports growing up. I didn't really specialize in one at first, you know, played soccer in the fall and basketball in the winter and baseball in the spring. I was on the swim team for years in the summer. It wasn't until about 12 or so that I started playing travel soccer and playing just soccer. Then kind of getting into high school, you know, I was never a top level athlete. I didn't play in college, certainly didn't play in the pros, but I loved exercising. I got a Gold's Gym membership when I was a senior in high school. My parents made me actually go for a month to prove I'd stick with it before they'd pay for it. And I've just loved to lift weights, and I ran for 13 years before I gave that up. Just wasn't really something I wanted to do long term. So now I do, you know, lifting weights and other stuff for exercise. But it's always been a big, big deal for me, something I really not sure I could live without. If I couldn't exercise, couldn't do recreational activities, I'd go crazy. So it's been important for my whole life, honestly.
right. So what drove you to practice medicine? Is it like one of those crazy stories in like the movies where the at a very young age, some kid has some tragedy, so in trying to make up for that, they go into medicine? Is that a story that...
That's funny. Yeah. I wish I could say that. I do have a good sort of story about a personal injury I had that probably led me a little bit to sports medicine, but I'd say I probably would have gone anyway. But, you know, my roommate in medical school actually made it to the Steelers training camp before he suffered an ACL tear. Jeez. And he says that's why he's in sports medicine now. So his is probably better than mine. But I was an econ major, so did that because I really enjoyed that, but I kind of always knew that my dad was a doctor, my mom was a nurse manager, and was kind of grew up in the medical world. And then when I got to college, it was one of those things that, you know, medicine, the way my dad explained it, because there's all different fields, you know, there's orthopedics, but there's family medicine and internal medicine and general surgery, and there's like 50 different fields. And he always said that, you know, in medicine, there's a field for every personality. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to apply to med school. I'll figure it out when I get there. And then when I got to medical school, I realized very quickly that I wanted to be a doctor that actually fixed problems and didn't just tweak somebody's symptoms. You know, you got high blood pressure, we'll give you this medicine and it'll come down, but if you stop taking the medicine, it goes right back up. Like, I didn't want to do that. I wanted, you know, somebody has this injury, we fix it and they're good as new. And so that's why orthopedics appealed to me. And then once I got to orthopedics, you know, that whole sports and exercise part of my life sort of kicked in. And so after orthopedics, decided to be a sports medicine specialist.
I guess the next logical follow-up, or what are some of the patients that you work with?
No, I think that's a key point, because everybody assumes when you hear sports medicine, at least, you know, when I get, you know, in the office, people ask this, you know, they assume, oh, then it's pro athletes. And a lot of what we do in sports medicine is serving as a team doctor. So we're on the sidelines and we're in the training rooms with pro teams, college teams, high school teams. But that's really only a small fraction of the people we see in our clinics. The vast majority of people are kids that play youth sports or high school athletes or adults that just want to lift weights or just want to run, but some foot pain's giving them trouble or some knee catching is keeping them from doing it or some pain deep in their shoulder is keeping them from lifting weights like they want. That's the majority of what we see, and I love it. Those people are so grateful. I mean, that gets probably a lot of your listeners. They're so grateful when you just get them over whatever it is that they do and get them back to lifting weights or running or playing rec league soccer. It's really, really gratifying.
So what's the most common injury that you see amongst your patients maybe the most common injury related to exercise or athletics? Yeah.
Well, just generally, you know, we're surgeons, and so the vast majority, not the vast majority, but a large percentage of what we see are injuries that end up needing surgery. And just by the nature of those injuries, the ones that, I mean, we see injuries of all types of the body, from the head to the toe, and muscles, and tendons, and ligaments, and all of that, but because of there's so many of these types of injuries that don't heal, far and away most of what we see are knee and shoulder injuries. Yes, we see the hamstring strains and the calf injuries and all this kind of stuff, but I would venture to bet at least of the surgeries that I do, 90% of them are either shoulder or knee surgeries.
And how far has technology and medical technology come with fixing these?
Oh, it's unbelievable. You know, I don't know exactly how old you guys are, but you sound pretty young, so I would assume that you're not going to be in this generation. But back even before when I trained, but you still see these people walking around, but in the 1970s and 1980s, all the surgeries we did involved 8-inch long incisions or foot long incisions. You see these guys in their 60s and 70s walking around, and they've got an incision that looks like a zipper all the way down their knee, you know, the thigh, you know, it's huge. And now we can go in, you know, through what we call arthroscopic surgery, and we can just make 2 or 3 little poke holes and insert instruments through those poke holes and do the same operations, these big reconstructive operations where you make new ligaments or reattach different things, sew things back together, all through those tiny little poke holes. And what that's meant in terms of getting people back to sports quicker or exercise quicker with better motion and better strength. I mean, it's night and day different than it was even as the early 1980s, late 1980s. I mean, it's dramatically different than the generation before us.
Wow, so I guess it's come pretty far. And I think also that's and it's interesting because what's also come far is exercise and health, wellness itself. I think there's a lot more information out there. People are more educated than they used to be. And I know that there are statistics showing that obesity and childhood obesity are at all-time highs, or at least had recently reached all-time highs. But from what I've seen, I think that there are also more people exercising. So you might get a lot of people who don't, but I think that there are also more people that are educated in terms of exercising, more people lifting weights, participating in intense exercise regimens. So about that, do you think that like lots of weekend warriors and sort of normal people that are pushing themselves doing CrossFit or whatever it is, do you think we've seen a surge of injuries because of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think generally that it's really an interesting phenomenon. You mentioned the childhood obesity and really adult obesity in this country is at rates as high as ever. So on one end, we're going the wrong direction. But then you're right. I think the numbers of people exercising, especially exercising at a high level, has also gone on has gone up the other end of the spectrum. And yeah, we're seeing more injuries as well. I don't even know necessarily that it would be, I'd point to CrossFit specifically or running specifically or lifting weights. I think it's all of those. I think anytime you have people really pushing their bodies hard, which I'm all for, I'm all for people working out and training really hard, but we have to expect to a certain extent, or not be surprised at least, when some of those people get hurt.
So what are the steps that somebody can take, like your average person who goes to the gym a few days a week, wants to get into shape, maybe even somebody who's a higher level as far as their own weightlifting or exercise is concerned, what steps do they need to take to protect from, you know, serious injuries that do require surgery?
I think the first thing I would do if you're just now starting a program, be it CrossFit or lifting weights or any of, you know, these high intensity interval training things, is to work with a personal trainer and learn how to do it properly. Learn the right techniques. I see more injuries from people just sort of flailing their arms around and they get hurt. And it was all just poor technique. And they never asked anybody really the right way to do it. And I think along those lines, the personal trainer can really design a program that's good for their body and meets their goals, and not just trying to wing it, as you know, without knowing what you're doing. Far and away, that's where I would start. I think that could solve, won't solve every problem for sure, but that could solve a whole lot of the injuries that occur.
Yeah, and then as a trainer, this is something I find fairly, not too often enough, with clients that will say something hurts, whether it's the knee hurts or the shoulder hurts, or, you know, we all deal with aches and pains. So what advice you have for a client and even a trainer, as far as when do you recommend, you know, you should probably get that checked out versus, you know, that might just be your normal aches and pains, it'll go away in a couple of days. Like, where's that line, or how do you decide, like, I need to go see a doctor and figure out what's wrong with this ache or pain?
Yeah, I think it's a key question. And for your listeners, they may be disappointed, because I don't know that it's as simple as, you know, you after 24 hours or after a week or after 6 weeks, you get it checked out. I mean, in clinic, I mean, literally today, I had somebody that had been hurting almost a year, and then somebody that got hurt on Saturday. I mean, so you see either end of the spectrum, and neither one is necessarily right. I think generally it's reasonable. Now, obviously, if you can't put weight on something, or something's, you know, the bone's crooked or something, you're going to get that checked out right away. But far and away more often, it's something more subtle where you can walk or you can lift your arm. It's just you can't do what you want to do. So if you want to give it a couple days, maybe back off of whatever the exercise is, put some ice on it, you know, maybe modify your activities and see how it goes for a couple days, I think that's absolutely reasonable. The question then gets to, though, at what point are you not making progress and do you get something? And again, I don't know that it's the time as much as you can't do what you want to do as well as you want to do it. So, for instance, you may have, you know, let's just say it's somebody that you guys train. Somebody's in the gym, wants to lift weights, and they've got this nagging shoulder pain. Yeah, they can go to work. They can, you know, do everything they need to do there, and they feel it some, but they can do it. And yeah, they could even go to the gym and get through a workout, but say they maybe they can't military press because of a deep clicking sensation deep in the shoulder, or they can't do an incline press because of this deep, uncomfortable pain. If you can't do what you want to do as well as you want to do it, I would say go get it checked out. The majority of the time, we're going to find that it's not something really serious. Make a few little tweaks, maybe physical therapy or some short little things to get you better, and then you can get back to it. The challenge comes if it's been going on 6 months or a year, then by that point it may have turned into structural damage. So I would say, you know, if you can't do whatever it is you love to do as well as you want to do it, then just go check it out and make sure it's not anything bad.
Great. And then are there any training practices or exercises specifically that you see being done in the gym that maybe are potentially more harmful than they are good?
I don't know necessarily. There probably are, and I'm just not thinking of them. But nothing jumps out at me as saying, hey, that one move is something you necessarily shouldn't do. I mean, I think there's challenges for everybody. You know, somebody with really bad knee arthritis, maybe, you know, a plyometric routine with a lot of jump training, that may not be the best thing for them. You know, and likewise, you know, somebody just coming over or coming off a, you know, muscle or tendon injury, maybe, you know, doing weights where they're doing, you know, sets of four with really, really heavy weights, or sets of two or one, you know, trying to max out. Maybe that's not what they should do right away. But I think generally, again, proper technique, you know, not pushing yourself to the point where, you know, the whatever it is tears or fails. I mean, generally, I think I'm okay with pushing yourself. So nothing jumps out at me as universally bad for everybody.
So you actually mentioned something earlier that was really interesting, and I don't even know if you realized you mentioned it. You're talking about how coming up you played lots of different sports that you didn't really specialize, sort of implying that today there is lots of specialization with kids. And you hear that we're in an age of specializations. So do you want to maybe elaborate on that a little bit? Are kids starting to focus on one sport and starting to almost to be groomed to play a sport? And from what early ages might we start to see, you know, are coaches and parents grooming their kids at?
Yeah, I love talking about this. I'm more passionate about this than really just about anything else I do. In fact, I write a newspaper column, and I just finished the draft of my latest one before we started this, and it's about sports specialization in kids. Yeah, I think that generally it's a very bad trend. Like I mentioned, I played different sports every season growing up, and now we see kids as young as 7 and 8 playing just baseball or just soccer or other sports all year. And the problem with that is kind of multiple. On one hand, as we can talk about, there's your injury risk, your rate of injuries goes way up with specializing in one sport at an early age. They don't have the muscle strength to take stress. The problem with playing one sport all year round is you're doing the same movements all the time with no break. If you play different sports every season, maybe one sport like soccer stresses your ankles and feet and legs, and then you go to maybe basketball, which is a lot of upper extremity stuff, so your legs rest a little bit. But if you're doing the same thing year round, those body parts just take stress and never really get a break. And those kids don't have the muscle strength that the adults have. I mean, heck, pros don't play one sport year round. So there's no reason to think 7 and 8 and 10 year olds should be doing it either. So there's the injury risk. But what we think also happens is those kids burn out earlier and end up quitting. We know that most pro athletes actually start specializing at an older age than do the high school kids that end up dropping out. So I think if I'm a parent, I strongly encourage my kids to play different sports. And then when they get to the high school ages, once they go through their growth spurt, then they can decide to pick just one sport and play it year round.
So actually, speaking of high school age, teens obviously are very impressionable, and they tend to mimic their heroes. So they'll try to mimic the training programs and the dress and all, you know, the style of their favorite athletes. So now, what about How does the teen need to train differently, though, from an adult, like, or from somebody who's in their mid-20s or 30s, who's, you know, established, fully grown adult? Like, how should the teenager be approaching their own fitness and their athletic training that maybe, you know, they wouldn't be necessarily doing it as an adult?
I think there's both physical changes that you would make, and then there's actually sort of emotional and psychological differences. I think from a physical standpoint, just strength training, for instance, I'm a big fan of kids lifting weights. I have no problem with it, but how you do it is going to be different for kids compared to, you know, adults, essentially. You know, you're not really going to be able to go hard after huge weights, because kids, when they're lifting weights, their changes are at the nerve level, the neurologic level. You're not going to get big, bulky muscles at a young age, but if you build the foundation, the right techniques, and the right training, then, you know, you may not see huge size gains, but that ultimately will benefit them down the road. And I think you approach it that way with everything. You don't go all out. You vary up, stressing different parts of the body. You give them more rest than you give adults, more days a week off, and really focus on keeping them healthy. The other thing, though, I mentioned the emotional side. You've got to make training fun for kids. We know that 70% of kids drop out of sports by age 13, and the biggest reason for that is burnout, you know, pressure from parents and coaches. So it's got to be about fun. You've got to somehow work, you know, give them more of a variety of different training things. You focus on things that are silly and give them some, obviously, just things to make them laugh. Teach strategy, teach techniques, but don't make it all about winning, not all about statistics. And I think you're going to do a lot of good for those kids long term.
So now, no pain, no gain is kind of ubiquitous in fitness and athletics. And, you know, obviously no athlete is ever like 100% healthy, but, and I think a lot of our sports culture kind of relies on patching up injuries versus like healing fully. So like, do you think sports now rely too much on that, on kind of attacking the symptoms but not the overall problem? And do you think that we send both adult and kid athletes to the field too soon before being fully healed?
I'd also to add on to that. Could the polar opposite of that also be true, where athletes are now there's such a huge investment that are maybe teams, you know, coaches, trainers being too safe with them. So it's almost like you could get a little bit of both. So I think you'd be a great person to answer that.
No, I got you. I think that there are both sides of that. I generally think the first one you mentioned is probably still more common. You know, there's a lot of pressure on, well, and this applies to all of us, not just pro athletes, but pro athletes are the easiest to give this example. There is a lot of pressure for them to get back to play as soon as possible. And yes, some of it's driven by the coaches and the GM and the team management, but a lot of it's driven by the players. They don't want to let their teammates down. They don't want to let the fans down, and they want to win too. So I think there is a lot of, how quickly can I get back? How quickly can I get good enough that I can push through it and play? And I think the problem with that is that what pros have to remember is they've got to look at this as a long-term career. This is their job, and they need to be healthy so that they can play more years and earn more money. But then they've got to be healthy enough to play with their kids when they're done with sports and be able to run in their 50s and have a good quality of life. I mean, there's nothing worse than seeing these NFL Hall of Fame ceremonies, and these guys can barely walk across stage to give their speech and accept the award. So, I mean, I do think that we all, across sports medicine and the athletes and everybody involved, need to do a good job of focusing on long-term health. Do sometimes teams go the other way? Maybe. I mean, we saw Steven Strasburg a few years ago where they held him out, you know, and basically shut him down as he was recovering from Tommy John surgery. And we've seen other examples of that. Maybe that can get excessive, but I almost would rather err on that side than rushing guys back too fast.
So now, but is it possible, especially in like heavy contact sports or sports with a lot of repetitive motion, is it possible for an athlete to to stay at the highest levels and in optimum condition for their sport without sacrificing their post-career quality of life?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to go with that. I mean, I think generally, let me start by saying that because I'm really quickly going to get where I'm sounding really negative and sort of focusing on injuries. We generally want people to play sports and to exercise. There's so many good things about sports and exercise. So we want people doing that. We just have to focus on ways to keep people healthy doing it. And so with repetitive motions, be it a sport like running or lifting weights or or an exercise, I should say, or a sport like tennis where you're serving and doing specific motions all the time, I think the key is to not let the stresses of those sports and exercise lead to injuries. And whether that's cross training, whether that's just taking one season a year off to give your body time to rest and you focus on other things, maybe you push really hard for one season and then you still do the same sport or exercise the next season, but maybe you don't push as hard that season. You vary up your routine to give your body enough time to rest and recover. Whatever it is that keeps you healthy and keeps you out of my operating room, I'm usually all for.
Cool. So I guess let's pivot for a minute. You have a book out, correct?
I do. Okay. I do. It's largely about the stuff we just talked about. It's called That's Gotta Hurt, The Injuries That Change Sports Forever. And it's really interesting. You know, it's a book that started as, hey, this is going to be great for sports fans. And I was an enormous sports fan growing up, and I still am. I have sports on in the background while I'm writing my articles and newspaper columns all the time. So it tells all these stories of some of the most famous injuries that have ever occurred in professional and college sports. But it's not just to tell the stories. It's to talk about what the changes that came from those, what happened, you know, rules changes in different sports or new equipment to prevent those injuries or a new surgery that developed. We mentioned the arthroscopic surgery earlier, how one particular injury sort of let the whole world know about arthroscopic surgeries and where we're headed. We talk about Hines Ward and the PRP that he got before the Super Bowl and how that's led to this fascination with PRP and stem cells. So it's really not just for sports fans, but it's for all of us that play sports and exercise. There's a lot of really important messages about what we need to do to keep pushing our bodies, but not break down in the process.
And where can people find the book?
It's really anywhere you like to buy books. People listening, probably the quickest way to get it is to go online. But Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple, their iBook store, Books A Million, really any Target, anywhere you like to buy books. If they don't have it, they can order it for you. It's on bookshelves everywhere and certainly any online store that you like to use.
All right, so got a little bit of a weird question. I don't know how much you're allowed to talk about it, or if you're allowed to talk about it maybe in generalities. But I'm really curious. What is the or whatever you can mention of it? What is the most bizarre, interesting case that you've seen?
I have to think about this for a minute. The one that pokes out at me, I wouldn't say the injury itself is bizarre. Yeah. Usually, it's not the injury itself; it's the circumstances.
Sure.
Interesting. I had a kid, and this was a number of years ago. It's just that it came up today or yesterday in discussions, why it's on my mind. But I had a kid, a high school wide receiver, that, you know, I was standing on the sidelines and the team was down 3 or 4 points. There must have been 10, 12 seconds left in the game, and they're at like midfield. So they're very likely going to lose. And the quarterback throws this bomb, this Hail Mary, and this wide receiver catches it like on the 2-yard line and is tackled just short of the goal line. Not only does he not score, but then very quickly we realize that in landing, he broke his leg. You talk about sort of the trifecta of bad luck. Tibia fracture and his heroic catch didn't lead to a touchdown. Ironically, they managed to have the foresight to call timeout, and they got one play to run, and they couldn't punch it in. So that ended his career. He was a high school senior and never played again. I mean, he probably could have had he been like a sophomore or junior, but he, you know, just wasn't going to play at the college level. Far and away, that's probably not the most dramatic injury, but that's the one that jumps out in my mind.
I was hoping for some sort of good ending to that, that he winds up being an orthopedic surgeon himself and goes on to save the career of some fame of Tom Brady or something like that. But
too bad. But the kid was great about it, and he can do anything he wants now. But yeah, I mean, the vast majority of what we do, be it ACL surgeries or meniscus or rotator cuff tears, labral tear, any shoulder dislocations, the vast majority, even with surgery, we can get people back to what they want to do. The challenge, again, is just, especially with these high-level athletes, doing it in a way that doesn't compromise their long-term health. But no, that is one of the gratifying things about what we do, is that people, they're just so happy when you finally tell them, yep, you're clear, you can go back to run or lift weights or play pro soccer, whatever it is. So generally they have happy endings.
Where's the future of the field? Like, where do you see in 5 or 10 years? Is there a major innovation that's kind of down the pipe, in the pipeline that's coming up? Is there anything you can tell us about?
Yeah, I think what's coming, I think we're still probably 5 years, maybe even a decade away from knowing that this is going to work. But I think this move towards trying these injections, PRP, platelet-rich plasma, and stem cells, to try to see if we can treat and reverse injuries without surgery. What we're hoping for is that maybe stem cells will cure arthritis, which would be an enormous breakthrough, because right now we can't make cartilage new again. Maybe ways to treat ACL tears, where you inject a substance and the ACL heals on its own, and things like that. We don't have a lot of good evidence that any of that's working right now, but I think that's where we're headed. And I think that's a good thing, potentially. If you can help people avoid surgeries, that's really, really good. But listeners out there, I don't want to get your hopes up that's something we can absolutely do right now. So you just talk to your doctor about all the options and then kind of figure out what's best for you.
So you're a fellow podcaster, and I look through your podcast. You've got tons of episodes. I love a lot of your topics are really great. And I mean, yeah, you have over 300 episodes, if I'm not mistaken. So how have you been able to stay so consistent?
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of these things that if you had asked me when I started my website and writing articles and then starting the podcast, if I would have made it 300 something episodes, I would have told you no way. I think it really gets to, and I think you guys probably feel the same way, I think it really gets to really finding value in talking to people and educating people about, what I do, in my case, sports and exercise injuries and treatments and prevention. And I think the why makes the sort of the grunt work of it tolerable. Because it is, all of this is a lot of work. Yes, you get more efficient, as you go, and you get more done in less time. But at the end of the day, it's still time that largely doesn't pay a lot of bills. So you really have to be passionate about who you're trying to help and why you're trying to help them.
Hi, David. Well, awesome, man. That was a great interview. You were really a wealth of knowledge, and you really put out some good positive energy there into the universe. Do you have any last tidbits of info or any tips just for us out there? Maybe might help.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I think the main thing I would say would just be, again, we want, as orthopedic surgeons and sports medicine experts, we want people lifting weights, exercising, whatever it is you love to do, playing, tennis when you're in your 70s or running marathons. I'm for all of that. We just need to figure out ways to keep you healthy so you can do it longer. So get your aches and pains checked out. Just make sure it's not a big deal, and push your bodies, but don't push through injuries. And I think that you can keep doing whatever it is you love to do the rest of your life.
Great. And what's the best way for people to reach you, get updates on you, find your podcast, all that good stuff?
Yeah, I think with everything, the website, the podcast, my book, probably the best place to go is my website, drdavidgeier.com. And Geier is G-E-I-E-R. So it's D-R-D-A-V-I-D-G-E-I-E-R. And I think there's all sorts of information, whether it's prevention, it's injury treatments, or you just have an injury and you can't find, I mean, I'd be surprised if you can't find something about it on my website, but there's a contact form. You can certainly touch base with me through that, and I'll try to answer questions as well. I love hearing from people. I love hearing their stories. I love trying to help any way I can. So I think I'd start at my website and connect with me there.
Thank you, and we'll for sure include those in the show notes. So, Doctor, thank you very much for coming on the Gym Wits. Good luck with everything, and we hope to hear from you soon.
That sounds great. Thanks so much, and you guys keep up the good work yourselves.
Great, thank you.
So does this finally solve that dilemma when clients ask you, oh, this is hurting me, my knee's hurting me, my back is hurting me, what should I do?
I guess, but I think it is very subjective, yeah, and yeah, it's the person, and how serious, you know, somebody comes in and it's like, I can't bend my elbow, then that's more serious than, my arm's been achy for a couple of days. So, yeah, you know, I think it does help a little bit. I'm always impressed, or not impressed, I don't know what the right word is right now, but amazed that people seek medical attention from me. And, yeah, yeah, you know, often it's like, there's pain, go see someone who's a specialist in that, because I'm not. Yeah. But, it's amazing how many people would take my advice without a second thought on injuries and things like that, as we've been over and over.
And not just your advice, but anyone's advice that would seem to have knowledge. Yeah. But of course, hope that we got everyone got this from listening to the interview, that a professional surgeon, an orthopedic surgeon, an expert, that's who you want to seek,
yeah,
for information.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, I think that was a great interview.
Yes.
A lot of great information, and hopefully, you know, useful for our listeners. That, yes, we touched on everything. We touched on teams, athletes, weekend warriors. So we really got a lot in.
That's the idea. And we hope that for anyone out there that might be suffering from an injury, maybe you don't know, maybe it's an early stage, you're like, well, I wonder, maybe this will encourage you to go get it checked out, or maybe you're just having some aches, you're like, you know what, I'm not injured, I'm just gonna, you know, give it some rest and, you know, get back in there. And I hope that encourages people to push themselves and to work hard and realize that you know, there are ways. If you get injured, there's, you know, surgeries may not be the best thing, but, you know, there's ways to progress in life with, you know, really good, strong exercise, you know, while keeping yourself healthy, and, you know, to be able to do it into an advanced age.
Yeah, well, there's a balance, and I think, yeah, you know, there's a risk-reward to everything, and, you know, sports medicine as a practice is getting better. I think a lot, especially at the high levels of athletes, we're seeing trainers who are coming in with philosophies that are more realistic and do take long-term health into account. Obviously, when you're dealing with the pro sports team, you know, the team's objective is to performance now, or maybe performance in a couple of years. But the athlete, in a lot of times, the athlete's objective is now. But they, you know, it's important to take, you know, the future into account. And it's crazy when I see kind of just the average person who's training at the level of an athlete and doing a lot of the repetitive motions and things that could get them injured. And you kind of have to stop and think, okay, where's my body going to be a few years down the line, sure, if I train at this rate without doing the proper, you know, proper things to recover, or to rehab or prehab, you know, potential injuries.
And if you're a parent, or you're a young listener, or if you're a parent, perhaps of a child who is specializing in a sport, and I'm not going to tell you, don't do that. It's obviously the choice of your family and of the kid and you. But do take into consideration what Dr. Geyer said, in that it might not be the best idea to specialize at such a young age. It's funny, it's because it's actually counterintuitive. You would think that playing more sports would increase your risk of, yeah, injury.
Well, I would assume,
I'm
that
sure
it,
in
I
some
would
ways
assume,
it does, but in general, he said that
I would assume that playing
repetition
more,
actually increases,
yeah, I mean, my
injury.
Thought, and there's no research behind this, is that playing more sports might slightly increase your risk for like an acute injury.
Yeah.
But, you know, doing the same thing over and over is going to lead to more repetitive injuries. Sure. So, you know, if you're playing a lot of different sports, sometimes the neuromuscular system has to adapt. And so I can see how that might affect you, you know, and maybe there's a higher incidence of injury, you know,
happening.
Accidents. But I think that, you know, if you're just running, you know, you do one thing, or you're running and doing, you know, the same motion over and over, if you're just pitching, if you're just sprinting, if you're, you know, whatever it is, that repetitive motion over and over without other movements to counter it and kind of complement it. And that's where I think you see those kind of repetitive movement motion injuries.
Yeah. And well, take it from me as someone who's worked with kids. I've seen the burnout. I've seen when parents push kids into doing one thing. I've seen kids sort of react negatively to it. And I've also seen kids that do their one thing and they absolutely love it. So if the kid just says, you know what, I love what I'm doing, it's kind of hard to say, hey, no,
don't specialize. Well, no, this is one size fits all. It's just a matter of finding what works. And for some kids, they know it right away. They play chess and they know that they're, you know, they love it. That's their thing.
You think there's a repetitive chess injury?
Maybe, I don't know. And for others, probably not. And no, for others, you just need to keep throwing stuff at the wall until you see what sticks. And for some, it doesn't stick until, you know, they're adults. But you got to keep them active and keep the brain and body working and developing. So I think, you know, if they take to something, let's say you do have a kid that takes to, you know, soccer, great, but you still want them to cross train and do something, you know, while they're growing. But yeah, I guess that's it. So as usual, all of our stuff is on thegymwits.com. You can find a link to our iTunes or Apple podcasts. One day I'll get that right in the first try. Or download the Gymwits app on iTunes. And that is it. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, aka Chef Sonic.
And we are the Gymwits.